Good morning, McDermott Road.
Good morning.
I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so excited to spend a few minutes with you this morning as we wrap up our series on new creation. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how someday, and I'm looking forward to this day as I know you are, there will be no more death, no more sickness, no more pain, no more crying. All of those old things will have passed away. And we're looking forward to that day. But as we've been saying for the last few weeks, the resurrection of Jesus was actually the beginning of that day. That day when God makes all things new. That Jesus rising from the dead is the beginning of the resurrection of the dead. Jesus rising from the dead is the beginning, the first fruits of new creation. And then when you, if you've been baptized, when you were baptized with Jesus, you were buried with Jesus, and you were resurrected with him. And so if you are in Christ, new creation has come. If you are in Christ, you are new creation. How wonderful that is. But, if you're living as new creation, a minute ago, I haven't worked out this metaphor, so bear with me for just a second. I just thought of this a second ago, but I was thinking about the Wizard of Oz. I know I shouldn't have been thinking about that while we were singing, but I was thinking about the Wizard of Oz. And I was thinking about the very first time I saw that movie, and my mom, of course, she had already seen it years before, and she was waiting for that moment when Dorothy steps out the door and it's not black and white anymore and everything is in color. That's what we're waiting for, isn't it? We're waiting for that new world that's in color, but we are in color already, living in a black and white world. We are this new creation people living in the midst of the old. But that leaves us so often feeling out of place, doesn't it? Like we don't fit in. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe in your own family felt like that? Because you're a follower of Jesus, you don't quite fit in at work or in your neighborhood or with your school friends or whomever. You don't quite fit in. And there's all kinds of things that we say, even songs that we sing. There's a song that we sing, and I don't want to pick on it too much, but there's this song that we sing, and we say, "This world is not my home." Now, I don't want to pick on this too much, but I don't exactly know what we mean by that, because there is a sense in which this world is actually more our home than it is anyone else's home. We also sing, "This is my Father's world," right? This is my Father's world. Jesus said that the meek will inherit the earth. Paul says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham and his descendants will inherit the world. I believe those things are true. So there is a sense in which this world is our home. But if we change the emphasis just a little bit, if we change the emphasis to something like this, this world is not my home. Well, I agree with that. This world, as it is, this present world, this current world that is filled to the brim with selfishness, this is not my home. This world that is filled with violence, this is not my home. This world that's filled with death and disease and sin and everyone taking advantage of one another and lying to one another and hurting one another and hating one another and being afraid of one another, this is not my home. This world, this present world, this current world, or we could say it another way, we could say this age is passing away. This age, this world as it is, this current present world as it is that's filled with sin and death and destruction, this world is not our home. In that sense, we are just a passing through. And so how do we navigate life as new creation people, as people that are living in a black and white world, in a dead world, in a cold world, in a world that's filled with sin and death and destruction, and we are this next generation, this new creation, this new heavens and new earth people that have already been resurrected with Jesus? How do we navigate this life in this present world? That's what Christian people have been asking and struggling with and dealing with for 2,000 years. So if you feel like I don't fit in anywhere, I kind of feel homeless everywhere. I don't fit in with my family. I don't fit in with my coworkers. I don't fit in with my neighbors. That's not only normal, it's actually good. That's the way it's supposed to be. We started this year by looking at the book of 1 Peter, and I want to go back to 1 Peter this morning and think about what Peter says to this issue, because he's writing to a group of Christians who are experiencing this for the very first time. They're the first generation of people to be experiencing, I don't fit in anymore. Like in the place where I grew up, I don't fit in anymore. With my own family, I don't fit in anymore. In my own neighborhood, I don't fit in anymore. Everybody looks at me like I'm a weirdo now, and they mistreat me because I'm a follower of Jesus. What do I do? So here's one of the things Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. Do you see the new creation language there? You have been born again. You've been reborn. Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? That if you want to be part of the kingdom, if you want to see the kingdom, you have to be born again by the water and the Spirit. And Peter writes to these Christians and says, you have been. You've been born again. Now, you've not been born by perishable seed, but by imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. The word of God, and in this case, that means the gospel. The good news about Jesus. You heard the good news about Jesus. Someone told you the good news about Jesus. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a coworker, but somebody told you about Jesus. I'm guessing you wouldn't be here right now if somebody hadn't told you about Jesus. And if you believed that word, the seed was planted, and because of that seed, you were reborn. You were born again through the planting of that seed. And it's this seed that brought our rebirth. It brought our purification. It brought our ability to, this text, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That's why you're able to do that. To love one another earnestly from a pure heart is because you've been born again. Because the seed got planted in you and it changed you. And now you're not the person you were before. You have been reborn. But this seed, Peter says, is an imperishable seed. And what happens, what is true of something that grows, either a plant or in this case a child, a baby being reborn, or you, what happens if something grows from an imperishable seed? What is that thing, that person that comes from an imperishable seed? Well, that person is imperishable. You are imperishable. Why? Because you grew from, you were reborn through an imperishable seed. God's imperishable seed brought you to new life, and his seed is imperishable. Look at verse 24. He says, for, here he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And he says, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now, if you go back and read Isaiah chapter 40, and I would encourage you to go back and read Isaiah chapter 40, not right now, later, but read Isaiah 40. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'm going to read a few verses from that, but he's talking about how everything that is of the flesh is going to wither and fall. All of it. It doesn't look like it is right now, but this world as it is, this world as it is, with all of the fleshly institutions, with all of the fleshly corporations, with all of the fleshly nations, they're all going to fall. Because they've been planted by perishable seed. You can look at a nation, especially when a nation is at its peak, and you say, this nation, this kingdom's going to last forever. And God, through Isaiah, says, no, it's not. It's not going to last forever. It's going to wither and it's going to fall. Just like grass, it comes up and it's so beautiful and it's so green. But you know that the fall is coming and it's going to wither and it's going to die. Everything that comes from perishable seed will wither and die. I know we look at our country, the country we live in, and we think it's so strong and so mighty and so wonderful. But Isaiah says, like all the other nations, it's planted by perishable seed, and it's going to wither, and it's going to fall. Listen to what the Lord says. Verse 12 of Isaiah 40, it's not on the screen, but he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? This is what Isaiah is saying about God. Who has measured all the waters of the world in the hollow of his hand? I mean, just, if you want to, stick out your hand and just make it flat, but there's this little hollow spot right in the middle, right? God could put all the waters right there in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span. That's the width of your hand. He could just measure all the heavens with the width of his hand, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains and the scales and hills in a balance. Verse 15 says, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. Like a drop from a bucket, not all the water in the bucket, but after all the water's been poured out of the bucket and there's one little drop left, and he turns that bucket sideways and one little drop comes rolling out. It hangs on the edge for just a moment and then plop. All the nations in the world are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Verse 17 says, all the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Isaiah 40 verse 22 says, it is he, it is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in? Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. Everything that comes from perishable seed is perishable. All of it. All the nations of the world, all the kingdoms of the world, all the empires of the world, all the corporations, all the institutions, if it comes from perishable seed, it is perishable. But Peter's point is, but you are not. You are not of perishable seed. You have been born again. You are new creation. You have been born again through imperishable seed, the gospel, the good news that you have heard. When you heard that good news and you responded to that good news and you were buried with Jesus in baptism, you have been purified and you've been resurrected to be new creation. And if everything that is born of perishable seed is perishable, then everything that is born of imperishable seed is imperishable, which means you are here to stay. And all this nonsense around you is only temporary. I know it seems permanent. I know it seems like it will never end. Like this sin and destruction and death, this corruption and deceit, that it will never end. But all of it is of perishable seed. We have been born again through imperishable seed. Going on, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, so, because this is true, because all of this stuff is temporary and you are permanent, if that's true, then this is what you do. You put away. Put away what? Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Stop acting like the world. Stop acting like that which is born from perishable seed. You're not like them. Stop trying to fit in with them. Stop trying to operate the way they operate. We even use phrases sometimes, don't we? We say, well, that's just how the world works. No argument here. That is how the world works. And this world that works like that is passing away. It will wither and fall because that's how it works. So you don't work like that. Put these things away. Malice means evil behavior of any kind. Deceit means taking advantage through craft and underhanded methods. Let me read that one more time. Taking advantage of people through craftiness and underhanded methods. Hypocrisy means, listen to this, creating a public impression that is at odds with one's real purposes and motivations. Does anybody do that? Does the world work like that? Through hypocrisy? Through creating a public impression that is at odds with one's real purposes or motivations? Or how about envy? Resenting someone, resentment toward the success or possessions of another. Slander doesn't just mean lying about people. It means any unkind speech, the act of speaking ill about others. You say, Wes, that's how the world operates. That's how the world works. That's how all of it goes around. And we would say, yes, it does. And it did 2,000 years ago too. And so Peter says, if you really have been born again through imperishable seed, then you put all of this away, because all of this is part of what is passing away. All of this power and wealth and scrambling for all of these things. This is the world. That is the world. That is the world that is passing away. The world of malice and the world of deceit and the world of hypocrisy, and the world of envy, and the world of slander. That is what's passing away. That is what is not our home. That's not my home. Is that your home? Is that really what we want to be comfortable in? And say, well, that's just the way it works, so you gotta play the game in order to get along. You have to go with the flow. And Peter says, no, you don't. He said, but do you know how people will treat me if I refuse to participate in this? If I refuse to play the game? Yes, they'll treat you like they treated Jesus. They'll treat you like they've treated Christians for 2,000 years. Look at verse 2. He says, like newborn infants, again, new creation, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This word pure means unadulterated or unpolluted or undiluted. And the word spiritual, the root word there of the adjective is like the word logos. It's where we get the word message, or the word by which you were born again. The gospel. Long for that. Keep longing for it. Crave it. Desire it. If you've tasted that the Lord is good, if you really are this newborn infant that's come into the world, then crave that by which you're going to grow up into salvation. Does that mean I'm not saved already? No, no, no. Salvation is, as we've talked about, past tense, present tense, future tense. You have been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. If you put your faith in Jesus, you have been saved, you are being saved, you will be saved. But your salvation process, your sanctification, isn't complete until you are exactly like Jesus. Now, that's not going to happen until you're raised from the dead on the day of resurrection. But until then, we get a head start. We start growing up into our salvation, into the people that God has saved us to be, the people He has rescued us to be. A little later in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles, the nations, honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. See, it's in their best interest, as well as yours, for you to live this way. What way? As sojourners and exiles. The word sojourner means you live in a place that is not your home. Do you treat that place that way? This isn't my home. This isn't my home. Not just planet Earth, that's not what we're talking about. But this world of malice and deceit and hypocrisy, corruption and manipulation and immorality, this is not my home. I'm a stranger here. I'm a sojourner here. I'm an exile here. The word exile means staying for a while in a strange or foreign place. That means that the world around us, this present world as it is, should not feel like home to us. We shouldn't be comfortable here. If you're uncomfortable in this present world, good. You're supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to feel. You are an alien here, a stranger here, a foreigner here, a sojourner here, an exile here. This is not your place. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Kingdoms of this world, nations in this world, they come and go. They're from perishable seed. They get planted and they're like grass, but before you know it, they wither and die. That's always been the case. But you are part of a kingdom that will last forever. You are new creation. You've been born again by imperishable seed. And so you must live as sojourners and exiles in this world, which means that you abstain from the passions of the flesh. And we live in a culture that says, no, the passions of your flesh, that's what you should live for. Do what you feel like doing. Indulge whatever appetite you have. Isn't that what the world around us tells us to do? But Peter says, no, those passions of your flesh, they are waging war against you. You abstain from those things. Because even our flesh, even our own bodies need to be made new, need to be redeemed. Here's what the gospel teaches us. Look at chapter 4 and verse 3. We read it earlier. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation this time. It says, "You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy." So Peter acknowledges, you've done these things too. We're not talking about those people out there, somebody else. We're talking about things we've all done, the way we all lived. He says, you've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, he says, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things that they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. And maybe you've experienced exactly that. Your former friends say, why don't you come hang out with us anymore? Why don't you have fun with us anymore? Why don't you do the things that you used to do? And Peter says, you know why you don't, right? You've been born again. You're new creation people. This shouldn't be a surprise to you that they slander you, that they talk this way about you, but it's shocking to them. And of course it's shocking to them. They say, why would anyone abstain from the passions of their flesh? If you have an appetite, indulge it. Of course that's the way the world works. That's the way you used to work. That's the way you used to think. But you've been born again by imperishable seed. And so now you're a different kind of person. And it's in your best interest, but also their best interest, for them to see in you something different. To say, I don't understand them, those Christian people, why they don't do what we do and talk like we talk and go where we go. And maybe some of them might want to know more. Look at verse 12 of chapter 4. He says, beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but, this is hard, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. See, his glory is coming. The glory of the King is coming. Our salvation and our inheritance is coming. That new creation is coming. The world to come is coming. And his glory will be revealed. And everybody's going to know, oh, I guess they were right. I guess they were right. Jesus really is king. I guess they are right. I shouldn't have lived the way that I was living. I guess they were right. I shouldn't have been greedy like I was or immoral like I was. I shouldn't have been chasing my passions like I was. I guess those Christians who kept preaching about Jesus, I guess they were right. And he says that even when we suffer right now, we do so in light of the future. We rejoice even when they mistreat us now, even when they reject us now, because we know what's coming. We endure the present in light of the future. Look at verse 14. He says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are what, church? I mean, I struggle to believe that, don't you? That's tough, isn't it? But Jesus said the same thing. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. That's what the blessed life really looks like. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You might be surprised that the word Christian is used very seldom in the New Testament. And it's almost always used in a way that's what other people called followers of Jesus. It was something that other people called us. They didn't have another word for it because we were so multi-ethnic. We weren't just Jewish people, weren't just Gentile people. We spoke different languages. We were weird. We were different. We were strangers, and they didn't know what to call us, and so they called us Christians. And Peter says, if somebody calls you a Christian, glorify God in that name. Wear it with honor. He says, rejoice. Don't be ashamed. Don't be surprised. Glorify God in the name Christian. So, do you feel like an outsider, a stranger, a foreigner, an exile, a sojourner? Do you feel like the world around you, even your own home, your own family, your own friends, your own neighborhood, places where you grew up, you kind of feel homeless now? They don't get it. They don't understand why you take the moral, ethical stance that you take. They don't understand why you're not as angry as they are. They don't understand why you're not as afraid as they are. They don't understand why you love not only your neighbors and your family, but you even love your enemies. And they think that's really weird. Why would you love your enemies? Why wouldn't you participate in gathering as much money as you possibly could? Why are you as generous as you are? Why do you devote time to God above all things? Why do you live the life that you live? And they may even mock you for it or scoff at you for it. Do you feel that way? And if it's uncomfortable, yes, of course it's uncomfortable, but it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be uncomfortable here. It's supposed to be uncomfortable now. You see, it's only when we're strangers, it's the next slide, only when we're strangers in this age are we prepared to be at home in the age to come. If you feel like you're at home in this present world, if you feel like you're at home in this present age, that's a problem. If you're comfortable here and now, if the world operates in a way that you get it and you like it because it's working for you, that's probably a problem. It's only when we are strangers in this age, in this present world, that we're prepared to be at home in the world to come. We are out of place here, and we are supposed to be out of place here. We are supposed to be out of place now because we are getting set. We are getting ready. We are getting prepared for the age to come, for the world to come. You are new creation, and new creation should feel uncomfortable, like a stranger a sojourner, an exile in this present world. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you've been thinking about it for a while. The seed has been planted. The good news has been planted that Jesus is King, and he is bringing the forgiveness, the purification, the life, the Holy Spirit, the resurrection that you want and desire, and you're ready to be buried with Jesus in baptism. You're ready to be resurrected to that newness of life. Or maybe you made that commitment a long time ago. But yet, like all of us, at one point or another, you've become comfortable in this present world. And you need to recommit yourself to being a stranger, a foreigner, an exile, a sojourner here, to be uncomfortable in this age so that you can be at home in the age to come. Or maybe again, it is uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable life living as a Christian in this present world. And we need each other, but we can't know what's going on in your life, in your heart, in your mind, unless you share it with us. And there's nothing in the world that we would rather do than help you, pray for you, encourage you. Our shepherds would love to meet with you in the prayer room after service, or you can come forward right now as together we stand and sing this song.